Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Laura Berman Fortgang is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's a pioneer in a life coaching profession. She's a renowned speaker. She's the president and the owner of InterCoach Incorporated, which helps people and companies, including small businesses, put their best foot forward in life. She's the author of Living Your Best Life and a new book I'm holding in my hand, What Now? 90 Days to a New Life Direction. Laura Berman Fortgang, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here.
My pleasure.
Here's my first question. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen your picture. I have your photograph here in front of me. Mm-hmm. How do you get to be a pioneer at 26?
You're very sweet.
Huh? How do you do that?
I started at 29, but I've got 14 years on that now, 13 years on that. So you do the math. That is very nice. Okay, I'm a friend forever now. Okay.
It's good to have you here, Laura. I'm really excited about your book, and because I really think that it's you say some really important things in here, and the whole idea behind your book is to break down if you feel like you're in a rut, you feel like you need to do something else, whether that be drastic or not so drastic, maybe just a little fine tuning. You help people break that process down, don't you?
Yes, break it down into very pragmatic and concrete steps and questions, really. I mean, the best coaches in the world are the people who ask you the tough questions that make you think. You know, not the sports coaches, obviously, but I mean
right.
Coaches who do what I do. And so what it's come down to for working with people on this is just really getting at the core of what it is you want to change. You know, you get this feeling of, oh, I got to make a change or this isn't right, but you can't specifically say it. And that's what I help people do, is be able to name it so that they can do something about it.
Well, you know, let's talk about this thing change for a minute. And mm-hmm. It's because it's one of the most fascinating things in our lives right now to me. And what I've been saying is that change isn't any different today. The things that we have that we're facing today isn't any different in a lot of ways than what people were facing 100 or 1,000 or 5,000 years ago. In my opinion, a computer is just a fancy wheel or lever. But what the difference is, and I've said this a million times on this show, that what's different about today than say 100 years ago or even 20 years ago is the velocity of change. That's what's taking people's breath away. What do you think?
Well, I think it's, yes. I mean, every generation or every turn of the century, we think, oh, these great times of change. Well, they've always been great times of change. You know, mm-hmm. think of the Industrial Revolution, you know, in the 1800s. Like, well, my goodness, that was radical to people. But, yes, I do agree with you that because we've become so sophisticated in so many ways, change is required more quickly. You know, remember old cell phones with these big, heavy mm-hmm. blocks? And,
yeah.
You know, it's barely a decade
later. Well, the first ones were bolted to the floor of your car.
Exactly.
Now we put them in our shirt pocket.
Or a new gizmo or gadget comes out, and you go, oh, I'll wait 3 years, I'll be able to afford one, you know. So yes, change is so rapid, and that, I think, is the hardest thing, is we don't get time to adapt before we have to change again. And, you know, and it's a common human trait that we're more comfortable with what we have and know than the unknown, which often keeps people from allowing change to happen.
Well, and I think knowing that we have to make these changes if we're going to survive and compete, and because we're having to make them so fast, I think that's what's adding to some of the anxiety of 21st century life. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes. I mean, like I said, we don't even get time to get settled in one change mm-hmm. before we have to make the next. So you
right.
constantly feel like your head is spinning. And also, our lifestyles are different, where in the days of not having two spouses working or a family where everyone's, you know, contributing, there was more time for one person to carry some of the things and the other person doing another job. Now everyone is so busy that change makes it is harder. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
But it's all, I think it's all positive in a way. I think that what I've seen is that the faster change goes, the more we cannot rely on anyone but ourselves. And I don't mean that in a selfish, egotistical way, but that we're actually being forced to be more self-reliant than looking outside for the answers to our life, because there's too many answers.
Right.
And that's, and that's the core of my, now what process is, you know, let's make changes, but let's make them based on who you are, not based on an organization or some rules that no longer apply to you.
Which brings me to this point that you make in your book very well, and I really like the way you say this, and I want you to explain it to us. Laura says, what you hate gives a name to what you want. I'm going to say that again. This is going to be on the test, folks. What you hate gives a name to what you want. Laura, tell us what that means.
What that means is many people, like I said earlier, come to me knowing they want to make a change, but they're not sure what. So one of the first steps to clarity is to name the things that are bugging you, the thing, and, or the things you feel strongly about. I mean, hate is a very strong word, but it sure makes the point that some of the things you're complaining about, actually, the flip side of them is what you exactly need to do to get to the core of you, to get to what's clear about what needs to change in your business or in your life. You often hear how, you know, when the economy goes bad, many companies say, well, it's time to get back to our core product or, you know,
core what competencies. We
really, our core competencies. So, you know, that's the same thing in a human being, is that we want to cut through the things that are in the way of your core, and one of the things that's in the way is your complaints. So how do we move your complaints to solutions? How do we take what you hate and look at it and say, oh, but if I hate this, I hate that, you know, I have to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, well, then that means you want more freedom. You want someone in your company who you can also trust to do the work.
And this process is not an instinctive process for a lot of people, is it?
No, it's really not.
It's difficult sometimes.
It is, and I, that's why I'm always amazed at what I do for a living. I'm like, you know what, we just need to train children differently, and then grown-ups won't need me anymore, you know? We've been taught to make decisions based on things outside instead of inside. You know, so, oh, goodness, well, if I'm the head of this, then I must do all this. And we just don't give ourselves a lot of room for flexibility, and yet if you look at what's changed in our world, there's more home-based business owners.
Absolutely.
There's more people telecommuting. There's more people with 30-hour jobs instead of 60-hour jobs.
Right.
So really, we can make it up.
There's still a lot of people out there, though, who don't know how to find what I would call core happiness. And when we come back after these messages, that's one of the chapters in your book is you talk about happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my favorite things to talk about, because in my opinion, if you can't be happy and you can't have fun, you need to find something else to do. 20 after, we'll be right back with our new friend, Laura Berman Fortgang, the author of What Now? 90 Days to a New Life Direction. Stay with us.
The ships roll in. Then I watch them roll away again, yeah.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, Laura Berman Fortgang. She's the author of What Now? 90 Days to a New Life Direction. Laura, tell us where the book's available, please.
Oh, sure. Amazon.com. Now What? And it is selling at a great price. And then my website, LauraBermanFortgang.com.
All right.
We'd lead you to some free quizzes and fun things to do on the website.
You also write for Redbook and some other publications, don't you?
I do. I'm a contributing editor to Redbook magazine, so I've gotten in touch with a lot of working women, and that's been great fun hearing from them.
So, folks, maybe you've seen the... ladies, I'm sure you've seen Laura's column there. And guys, when you're in the dentist's office and there's nothing else to read, go ahead and pick up Redbook and read Laura's column.
That's right.
Laura, let's talk about happiness for a minute. Folks, we're talking about the if you're in a position, and most of us are at some point in time, if not on a regular basis, where we feel like we need to be fine-tuning, if not making major adjustments to our lives, whether we're small business owners or employees, we want to be a small business owner, or we'd like to be a better employee, or want to be a employee somewhere else, or whatever it might, whatever stage in your life you might be in. Laura, doesn't happiness have to be the foundation for all this change?
Well, my new quote is, happiness is the new bottom line.
Yeah,
that's really the biggest change that I'm seeing. I mean, you know, not across the board, but more people being willing to have less, maybe make a little less to be happy. And it doesn't mean you have to make less to be happy, but happiness being the new, you know, finally, people have gotten enough of the riches and everything to say, you know, okay, why isn't this making me happy? This was supposed to be it. And people re-evaluating their lives and seeing that happiness is their new bottom line. If I'm not happy, none of it's worth it. And I think we saw that in the 90s with work-life balance being the buzzword. But now that we're in a tougher economic time, people are even still looking at it and saying, what matters to me? And I say in one of my chapters that one of the reasons why we're not happy is we don't have any criteria for happiness.
Uh-huh.
We don't know what's going
to
make us
happy. We don't know how to define happiness, do we? And you
no.
know, I think, and I'm going to take it one step further. I say that we've got to learn how to define happiness on a number of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And meaning, you know, happiness in our job, happiness in our family, and that sort of thing. And also, I don't think you can define happiness, especially if you're a business owner, if you can't learn how to define success.
That's right. And they really go hand in hand, because most people think success will make them happy, financial success or whatever they define as success. But happiness, you know, happiness is a state of mind. Some people can just be happy no matter what's happening around them. And other people, we might need to work for it a little more. But what will not guarantee, but what will bring about the probability of happiness is if we really know what is critical to you and you must have, and what your values are. And I don't mean just moral or religious values, but I mean, you know, if you need your work to be something that proliferates and helps others, or if you are someone who needs your work to be honest through and through, or you need what you're doing to be of a spiritual nature, you need to know those things about you, because the more of those qualities you have in your life, the happier you're going to feel. And one of the bottom line things that I say about happiness when it comes to working is that what you do for a living is not what's going to make you happy. It's who you get to be while you're doing that that brings about the happiness.
One of the things you talk about in your book also, another chapter that I think is important, and that is that we have to understand this is the reality check of finding this happiness, and this is another thing that's going to be on the test, folks. With every gain, there is a loss. I'm going to say it again. With every gain, there's a loss. Tell us what that looks like.
Well, if anyone out there can relate to when they were single and then got married, or when they had their first kid, maybe, that you go from, let's say you liked being single and you also like being married. So there's a gain of the couplehood, there's a gain of marriage, but you have to lose your singlehood. So there's always something you have to give up to go to the next level, and that's usually what people are not willing to do. And that makes change difficult. You know, so getting the next level of success or the next level of happiness may mean something has to go.
And that's the hard thing sometimes. Like, for example, in a small business, if I believe that my business is not properly positioned for the rest of the 21st century, I've got to find out what that proper position is, and it's probably going to mean maybe different personnel, maybe a different location. Maybe I'm going to have to forsake some things that I believe for the last 20 years that are no longer valid, and it can be painful, can it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if someone all of a sudden sees that they need to leave their relationship, let's say, you know, even if both people in the couple say it's the right thing to do, it's still like severing a limb. Or let's say it's a business and it's just, you know, it's gone south and you have to walk away and there's just no doubt about it. That's a loss. Every time we cut a loss, we are freed up for something better.
And Laurel, and folks, the subtitle is 90 Days to a New Life. You've got a 12-week process in the book here, don't you, that helps people do this?
Yeah, 90 Days to a New Life Direction, 12 weeks. Each week is a subject or something to work on. And it comes from my experience. I mean, I've been doing this almost 14 years, working with people one-on-one. It used to be longer-term relationships, you know, sometimes years. And in the last 3 years, since September 11th, I just decided I needed to work in shorter periods of time with people, and people did incredible things.
The book is called What Now by Laura Berman Fortgang. Laura, thank you for being here. Good job today. Will you come back another day?
I'd really like to. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Quick break. Right back with Tim Berry. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Well, it's fine and you've got the time. It's your chance to wake up and plan another.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.